Welcome to Leader to Leader. I'm John Bailey, and we are so glad that you have tuned in today. I am thrilled. Today we are meeting with a good friend of mine, Pastor Lee Shipp from First New Testament Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. How are you doing, Pastor Lee?
I'm doing wonderful. Very excited to be with you, John. I appreciate this opportunity.
Good. No, good. I tell you, because I was a missionary, I've been an evangelist, I've just been to a lot of churches, and I could tell you this with a pure open heart. I have been to larger churches, but I will tell you, I've never been to a church that just has so full of the love and the presence of God, and I absolutely love First New Testament Church, and I thought today would be a really great day to kind of hear your story and be able to share with some leaders. And so let me give you a little bit of context if you're watching today, listening in. So Pastor Lee at his church, traditionally over the years, he had more of a frame of understanding the word that was far more legalistic. And we'll define what that means here in just a few moments. But he really had this incredible revelation of the grace of God. And in that, as he's pastoring a church, his church went through a transformation. And so for maybe some people that are listening, or maybe you have a friend that maybe is going through some of these issues, and we believe that it's really important to understand the gospel and the gospel of grace. And so if you don't mind, Pastor Lee, I want to just give a quick understanding so we understand, you know, we're all talking the same language. I think it's important. So here's how we define what legalism is. Okay, Jesus died on the cross, and when he died on the cross, he paid the price. And so he fully paid the price for our salvation. And because of that, we don't have anything to add to the equation. So when people say, well, Jesus did his part, and now I do my part. He started a good work, and now if I can just finish it. All of that, anytime that you add to the finished work of Jesus, it's just a simple definition of legalism. And so when people live in this nearly a fear or this treadmill of works of constantly trying to do things to please God, we have to have this understanding that first and foremost, Jesus pleased God. The ultimate sacrifice at Calvary, when he gave his life, he fulfilled all of the demands of God. And so God's wrath is not against us. So now we live in the liberty and the power of Christ. Now, here's the thing that some pastors and leaders get a little bit afraid of. They go, if I really preach that and I start telling people that they're free, well, they're going to live sinful lives. And I think that this is a misnomer. I think that if you truly understand the grace of God, that we understand that when we come to Christ in faith, he gives us the Holy Spirit, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit that conforms us to Christ. That is the power of God. It's how the early church lived. It's the way that Paul lived. And so Paul moved from this place of like, you know, I was born under the law, lived under the law. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees, but he was religious. But when he came to know Christ and the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit began to fill his heart, there was a complete transformation. That is what we need in the church. And so with that definition, and Pastor Lee, you can add to or take away any of that. I just maybe wanted to, you know, first get your, maybe just a little bit of your understanding of where you were at theologically when it came to some of these issues to do with legalism, and talk to us about where the church was at and then how you came into this revelation of the grace of God.
Yeah, it's so important to discuss this and to look in the Word of God at the truth. I would like to say, as we're speaking to leaders, for me as a pastor, I have been pastor of this church for 38 years. I would not have ever believed we were legalists. I would not believe that my theology was ever legalistic. And I think that's part of the controversy or the conflict that goes on in churches and pastors and leaders, because just that word legalistic has such a bad taste whenever we hear it. It's like a horrible accusation. And so our immediate response is pushback. Well, I'm not legalist. My church is not legalistic. And I think as evangelicals, we would all say in our theology that, well, that's what we all believe. We all believe that what Jesus did at the cross was enough. We believe that the finished work of Jesus in the cross, and that we're saved by grace through faith. I believe every evangelical pastor and church and leader that is listening would say, so I'm not legalistic because I believe in that. I don't believe I'm going to heaven based upon my work, but in my faith. And so I think there would be that initial response from anybody listening. And therefore, it becomes very difficult to maybe see the ties, the root that we still have into a work-based life. If I can say it this way, and to me, it really tends to lead to a proof text of being able to examine my life. Where am I? Am I really operating in faith and grace, or am I operating in a works-based relationship with God? And that's Romans 4. And of course, in Romans 4, both David and Abraham are referred to. And it refers to David as this believer in God who said that blessed is the man whose sins are not imputed to him, and that he has righteousness as a gift. And then it goes on to Father Abraham, our father of faith, who had this relationship with God, who lived 400 years before the law was ever given. So he has no knowledge of the law. He lived in a pagan society, and he came to know Yahweh, and he followed the Lord. And he developed this relationship with God that was really based upon grace. He was given favor, and he walked in that favor. And in Romans 4, Paul deals with this relationship, and he said that Abraham had a relationship with God that was based upon faith and not works. So the choice is laid out for us. We can seek a relationship with God that is based on debt, or we can seek a relationship with God that is based on faith. And so the difference is this: if it's a relationship based on debt, then you're never quite sure if you paid enough, if you're going to get from God the payment or the reward that you're desiring. Did I sacrifice enough? Did I fast enough? Did I pray enough? Did I give enough in order to get God's favor? On the other hand, there's this relationship of faith. And Paul says in Romans 4 that if it's by faith, then the promise is sure.
Amen.
It's not on the basis of debt. And so, if I look back at my life as a pastor and a minister and growing up, it was not uncommon for me to hear or even say, well, you know, if we just would have fasted one more day, if we would just prayed one more hour, if we just would have made one more sacrifice, God would have come through. We would have had what we wanted. We just didn't enough. And that's work. That is a form of legalism. And I think, honestly, I think every human is origins are in legalism. Every human. And so our response is to deny it. But really, if we want the revelation of grace, then we have to be willing to accept the fact that the purpose of God even giving the law was to lead me to Christ. So at some point, until somebody's in Christ and born again, they are under a system of legalism and law.
Yep.
But once you come to Christ, you're freed from the law. You're freed from legalism. And you don't even come into Christ based on legalism, because the law or legalism brings you to the place where I have absolutely failed. I have not pleased God. I'm a sinner. I need mercy. I need grace. And we turn to Jesus and we know he is the perfect sacrifice, but not simply the perfect sacrifice. He is the perfect savior and he is the perfect enabler in my life. And so we're brought into this relationship of God, with God through faith, not through work. But those trappings of legalism are in every human. We raise our children that way, right? Well, you made a C instead of an A, so you're not going to play baseball or something this year until your grades come up. It's a system of works. We operate in that way. But I'll just kind of conclude this little part this way. I just see in Romans 4 that Abraham had this relationship with God through faith. He was not a perfect man. He did some awful things. But in Romans 4, it says he never staggered, never wavered at the promise of God, because he believed that he who promised was able. He never doubted that. But there were times in his life where his flesh just failed. But he never got under the condemnation or torment. Well, God must be through with me because I've sinned and I've wrecked my life. I've ruined it. And no, he never even thought that way because the law was not implanted into his, you know, religious nature. He just knew this God was able to do what he promised he would do.
Well, that is so good, Pastor Lee. And, you know, one of the things that you're talking about there that really catches my mind is as you're talking about faith. And I think that that word is really important to distinguishing between what is the true gospel and what's not the true gospel. If you see faith as an intellectual word or an understanding of a truth, and we know this, the Bible says that the demons in hell believe, and yet, of course, they don't live by faith, but they mentally understand that there is a true living God. But faith is a spiritual word, and faith is a relational word. So the word in the Greek is pistis. It's to believe in, to cleave to rely upon. And that's out of relationship. And when you love Jesus that way and you walk with Jesus that way, he conforms you. And it takes you from this, you know, from this, here's the, you know, 623 laws, or sometimes in our churches it can be, you know, 50 rules. You got to pray every day. You got to read the Bible every day. You got to witness to somebody every day. And if you're going to be a good Christian, here's all the things you have to do. And literally you can just bend under the weight of all the things that you have to do to be right with God, rather than just seeing Jesus paid it all. And now when I love him and I'm conformed to his image and I live like him and I pray like him and I walk like him, it's a holiness, but it's a holiness that's produced by God rather than by our own effort. And so as we're talking about this, so you're in this place, and I think all of us have to some degree been there, but you're in this place and you go, you know what, I have more maybe legalistic things in the way that I talk, the way that I preach, the way that I minister, and I'm finding myself in this place of going, now you have this revelation of God's grace. Can you tell us about how that journey came to be? And then my follow-up question is going to be, then now how do you go back to this church that you have been, you know, saying one thing, and now you're going, well, I wasn't exactly right on that, and we're going to shift to another way of how we see the gospel. That had to be a big transition. So why don't you take us through, first of all, the revelation that you had, and now how do you begin to go to a church family? And for leaders and pastors that may be watching, how do you go through that journey of transitioning maybe from this place of being more legalistic to we understand the full gospel is by grace through faith?
We don't have enough time, John. I'll do my best.
We'll do two parts.
it's tremendous. It was years ago, a long time ago, back in 2009. God started dealing with me. And basically, there was a moment where God just really started to speak to me and tell me that you are in my way and I'm going to strip you. I'm going to deal with you. And it was, he revealed to me the type of valley that I was going to walk through. And he assured me that I will be with you. And he said, it will be difficult, but I am leading you. You must stay close to me. I'm the only one who knows the way out. And I didn't want to walk through it. I fought it. But God said to me, I'm not asking your permission. This is where we're going. I'm going to deal with you, but I love you. And I'm going to deal with you as a father. I'm not coming to deal with you as a judge, but you're in my way. And there are things that I want you to know. And I want to be able to bring through your life. And so God helped me understand what I was about to walk through. And then he just started stripping me and revealing things to me, my pride, my ambition, my prejudice, just lust, just everything, the particular image I thought of myself. And so I had to cleave to Jesus. I was more and more realizing that there really is nothing good in me. And the fact that God loves me is blowing me away. That, you know, this self-image that I have is just being pulled down gently by the mercy of God. And the whole time he's pulling it down, revealing things about me, he's holding me and he's like, none of this surprises me, Lee. None of this. I've got this, but you just got to trust me and you got to let me do it. So I was like relying so much on God's love, so much on God's power. As I was coming through this, I started to just really see the heart of God. And I was giving up. I was giving up. I wasn't throwing the towel in. I was giving up to God. I was agreeing with him. I wasn't, because this took years. It was years. And I was not trying to justify myself. I was just agreeing with the Lord. I was coming to that point more and more. Mm-hmm. And I felt like God was like freeing me from the game, the ministry game, the pastor game. The game of exhaustion and weariness and self-image. And I just started to become very raw with my people. I was testifying to them of my battles and my struggles and what God was bringing me through. And you know, John, it hit a chord with them because so many were in the same place, but they had not had ministry like this. That was so raw and real, as though the pastor himself is actually walking through these things and he is giving us everything God is giving him. And it was a spiritual thing. It was not an educational thing. It was not an intellectual. There was never an intellectual moment where I had this brilliant explanation of new covenant or grace or this walk of faith. It was just living in the open reality of what I'm going through, how much God loves me, how God is assuring me that he's going to help me. And I came to this, I came to this place in 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I'm like, wow. All right. I've known that all my life. I've preached it all my life. And I said, all right, I don't need theology. Right now, I need this grace. If this grace can make Paul what he is, I need this grace to help me. And I threw myself upon God. And he was there. and I'm teaching the church these things. The battle, the conflict came when I was able to be real about myself, and that reality, I think, began to be offensive to people that had their own prejudice and their own pride and their own issues that they were not willing to admit. It's almost like a light was coming out of me upon others that didn't want to be dealt with. They didn't want this grace. They wanted to pick themselves up by their bootstraps, and they wanted to show God and the world, I am this man of God. I am this person. I am good. I'm going to be all these things in Christ, but in their own strength. And I realized, yeah.
What's that? You know, I made it happen, and I changed the world, and look what I did. Yeah. I saw a thing the other day. Revival starts with me. No, revival doesn't start with you. Revival starts with him, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
And you really come up against modern Pharisees who, Jesus said of the modern Pharisees, you search the word, for you think therein that you have eternal life, but it is that word that speaks of me, but you will not come to me that you might have life. So here are these religious leaders longing for God, longing for the Messiah. And when he comes, they're so offended. He's so contrary to what they thought. He's loving sinners. He's coming for the sick. He's coming for the broken. He's telling the people, your righteousness is not enough, and you have done all that man can do, and it's not enough, and you're not gonna make it into the kingdom of God. What did they do? They killed him. And I find that throughout history, that's exactly what continues to happen. When men and women sincerely preach the true grace of God, the true new covenant of the Lord, then religion will always seek to kill the life of Jesus in that. And they do it with accusations. They do it in every, well, you know, if you live this way, you're going to just live in sin. You're going to be reprobate. You know, you're going to have churches where everything goes. There's no holiness. There's no purity. And that's an effort to kill the only thing that can give holiness and life. So that was part of the battle that we fought. We fought religion. And I would really say that actually I didn't fight it. I was not allowed. God wouldn't let me fight it because God said, I'm dealing with you. So don't you deal with that. You just let me deal with you. And I kept preaching it, and I kept living it, and I kept preaching, and I kept living it, and I kept loving the people. And the people started getting the revelation of it. They saw it. And God dealt with those who were just determined to not accept the fact that they were not good. They did not need Jesus.
Yeah, this is really good that you're bringing this up, and to pastors and leaders that maybe are watching here today. I think that this is a way that God works, is he works through a person and he brings a revelation. And certainly, you know, like you're saying, we know that the Word of God, there's an intellectual aspect that comes studying the Word, knowing the Word. But what you're talking about today is this revelation that takes the Word and it allows it to become this living reality inside of me that now I understand. I really have nothing to offer Jesus. He's offered me everything. And now if I can believe that and walk in that and live in that, there's so much power and so much joy and so much life. When I went through a similar journey myself, I came out of a legalistic background and I started going, you know what? He loves me. on the good days and on the bad days, and when I fail and when I think I do really good. The grace and the mercy and the kindness of God, I need it every day. It's never an excuse for sin. It never says, well, now you can just go live like the devil. Like, you know, some people, you know, think that if you start to preach a grace message, that it's an allowance for sin. It's not. But it is an understanding that Jesus covers the sin, and now it allows us to walk on this path of just walking with Jesus and knowing him. And when I hear your story, it's like, you know, Pastor Lee Shipp has this revelation of the grace of God, and now he's going to and as you're walking through this journey, people are like, hey, you're talking a little different. And what I see is a little different. And instead of it being the pride, instead of it being the works, instead of it being the list of things to do, it's more about seeing the glory and the wonder and the majesty of God, and letting the love of God get a hold of you, and then loving other people like that. And so as we're going through this, here's my question. We're going to end this podcast, and we're going to come back and do a part two. But here's my question. What was the effect, if you would, what was the effect that you saw in your congregation when people in the church, obviously you're saying some people probably walked out the door and they never came back because there's a part of our flesh that likes that. You can do it, be your best, do all that you can do. There's a part of us that likes that. So there's some people that walked out the door, but the people that stayed and got that revelation and began to walk that out, what was the transformation that happened at First New Testament at your church? What happened there that you go, hey, this is how we were before, and this is how we are now?
Beauty. Yeah, absolutely beautiful. It was an explosion of joy. People weeping with joy. People shouting. I'm telling you, shouting like they had just come out of prison. It was absolutely, and you talk about holy living. I mean, people confessing things. The law will not let you repent. If you sin, the law says you're dead. Only in the new covenant can we repent and come to God, admit our sin.
And maybe a good way to put that is you can repent, but it's still a works based. It's like, I went to the altar, I repented. Yeah. And you know what? And the word that still keeps coming up is I. What I did, how I did it, how I repented. And listen, when you get this revelation that you're talking about, it's just the glory of God. It's the touch of heaven on your life.
And I'll say this, John, love. Mm. Love. Love for God and love for one another. This is complete theology. It's the word of God. It is line upon line, precept upon precept. That is true. But it is life. And the manifestation of this truth is love. You love God. Because really, grace is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's his influence on your life, and he makes Jesus real to you. And we started loving one another like we never had before. I mean, sincerity, compassion. It's just, and then ministries launched. I mean, people just started having the freedom to serve God. Like, Pastor Lee, if God can use you, he can use anybody. And they just started serving the Lord, starting campus ministries, starting ministries to women that have gone through battered situations, just starting community ministries, international ministries, mission trips all over the world. I mean, people, just the people in the church, it was exploding because they love. They love God and love people.
And you know, something that everybody hasn't really seen that's watching today, but I've been there and I know you. And anybody that knows Pastor Lee Shipp, the love of God just kind of oozes out of you. And at your church, everything that you're saying, a lot of times when pastors talk about, you know, how God's moving at the church, you go, okay, well, maybe. But I've been to your place, and man, the love of God is there. The presence of God is there. And I like to associate it with, maybe some people can identify with this, but at World Challenge, we work in the Muslim context. I've worked a lot over the years with Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Catholics, I 10 years nearly in Ireland with Catholics. And when you have people that come out of a legalistic background and they discover the grace of God, it's more than a theological change. Because sometimes we think, well, my theology changed. Now I believe in the grace of God. But no, it's more than a theological change. It is a life change. It's like, hey, I wake up in the morning and I see the beauty and the wonder and the holiness of God and the greatness of God. And it just transforms the way we see God, the way we see life, the way we walk through this world. It really is transformational, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Like, it's the only thing. Because the only way of holiness for us is grace. The only way of righteousness. For us, there's no holiness, there's no righteousness, no justification, no sanctification outside of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not going to happen.
Amen. Well, listen, I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to come back, and we're going to do a second episode that we'll play next week, and we want to hear more. I've got a few things that I want to talk to you about, this balance between grace and then how do you still maintain a life of holiness in the church and how you walk through things. I think that that's a good understanding for a pastor, and I know this is something you have a heart for. But let's pray, and then we will we'll look forward to having you back for next week. So, Jesus, we love you today, and God, I'm so grateful, Lord, for the grace and the kindness and the good of God and the goodness of God. And Lord, I thank you as we're talking to Pastor Lee and just the great work that you've done in his life and in his church. I pray, God, for people that may be watching today, and maybe, Lord, some of those legalistic tendencies are still there. God, I pray that you would break every chain in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for the glory and the power and the wonder of Christ. Lord, we pray because you pray. Lord, we love because you love. Lord, we love the Word because you love the Word and you are the Word. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just begin to bring a new dynamic in our life, that the way that we live is not by a list of things to do, but it's a life that's been given through a Savior and the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray it would be more than just words in a book. God, I pray it would be the living reality of every day walking with you and knowing you. I pray, Lord, for the grace of God and every pastor, every leader. Lord, we pray other people that may be out there would get a hold of this and, Lord, really have this dynamic change in our life, that we move from this place of legalism or rules to a place of knowing and walking with the living God who transforms every day of our life. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Lee, thank you so much for being with us today. And thank you for being with us today on Leader to Leader with Pastor John Bailey. We're so glad that you've tuned in. Come back next week. We're going to hear some more, just a great life and testimony from Pastor Lee. And I would say to you, share this out if you know someone that maybe is walking through legalism, or if you know somebody that this would be a blessing to, sign up for our Pastors and Leaders Network at World Challenge. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Have a great day, and we will see you next week.